Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, it's a bit cold. It's a little dusting of snow from 80 degrees the other day to this. I don't know. That's why you hear me being nasally. My allergies are kicking in. I don't know what it's like down there in Nashville. Please tell me.
You know what? It was like balmy hot, and then we had a freeze. You know, all our trees bloomed. You know, we have a lot of blooming trees here, and all the flowering trees bloomed, and then we had a freeze last night. So there you go.
Well, that's
Tennessee. You know what they say about the weather in Tennessee? If you want to know what the weather is going to be in Tennessee, look out the window. That's what
right.
they say.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I went over to.
All the time.
I was down at Monmouth University this past weekend. It was great because, you know, I got a chance to see all these songwriters. And one, I knew a couple, but it was funny. Eric Bazillion, who I love, I love his song. And if people don't know, he wrote the song. If God was one of us, it was nice to see him, and he did his version of it, and it was nice. And I have to tell you, I was down by the sea. It isn't by the sea; it's by the ocean. It's the Atlantic Ocean. They put me in a lovely hotel, and I just looked out and I thought, how beautiful! But you can see it was like the calm before the storm coming in. It was really
Ooh.
Funny.
Yeah, and
yeah.
The Atlantic is can get very dark looking, like
yes.
ominous.
Yes,
yeah.
Very ominous. Yeah. And it was beautiful. I got a chance to see it. I want to thank, the deans over there, Kenneth, all of a sudden, all the names, just went out the door in my head. He wrote a couple of books, and, you know, and Dean Molliver, Don Molliver, and, you know, and Ken, who actually is Womack. He wrote a couple of Beatle books, and he's working one on George right now. And it was great. We were talking. We were having a big conversation. Thank you, guys, for bringing me down. I loved it. I love having my conversation with everyone. And it was nice. It was just a nice weekend, nice drive down, beat whatever, you know, dusting of snow back up here. It was great, you know. So,
well, spring is here, so we'll
yeah.
see how it goes. Last year for
yeah.
us, we had no spring. It went straight to summer. So hopefully that won't happen again. But if it does,
right.
we'll have to haul out the bikinis and short shorts, won't we, May?
I know. And in between, I have to sell stuff out of my home. Can you imagine? I'm trying to move.
Oh.
So I got to sell things.
Yeah, you got
anyway.
Big changes coming up for you, sister.
I got big
girl.
Changes in big my life.
Big changes.
Yes.
Well, you know, it is Women's History Month, and
yes.
a couple of weeks ago we had a little cyber spit up, and we couldn't get into our studio, so we had to reschedule our guest, but we are really, really thrilled that she's back here today, because this great broad, she broke a really, really, really thick glass ceiling. Back in the day, May, and you know, radio stations were a boys' club. They were a boys' club. I mean, it was run by men. Yep.
I think they still
yeah.
are.
You know,
yeah.
And you know something, for the most part, well, for the most part, everything still is. But this particular gal became a program director, an operations manager. She was in the number 4 market in radio stations. And for radio, anybody who knows radio, that's
right.
big. Let's see, what has Lori Larson been? She's been a rock and roll DJ for 30 years. She ran for the Arizona House of Representatives in her spare time, and she has 3 albums to her credit. The last 2 made it through the first rounds of the Grammy process. But what caught my attention with Lori was her astronomy photography, which she posts
yes.
up on Facebook. And her pictures of rock stars is no slouch either. It's been being used by the Classic Rock Concert Series. But she's got like a 5-page resume, and I really want to talk to her about her interest in astronomy. And without further ado, let's welcome to the show Supergirl, Lori Larson. Lori,
Absolutely.
Welcome.
You are too kind. Thank you so much. You know, I love astronomy. It was like the first thing that I really loved, and I begged my parents for a telescope. And, you know, I went to school for that. But then
wow.
I got into radio, and so I didn't really use, I went to school for astrophysics, but I didn't really use the degree, so I just kind of, you know, went into radio. But I took those pictures, and I would take them to stores to try to sell them, and they'd all go, wow, your husband took a great picture. And I'd be like, no, I took it. And they'd be like, no, you didn't. And it took me a while to get into a gallery, and I want to give a shout-out to Daryl Mankoff, who is the first person to put my stuff in a gallery. So
fantastic.
And that was in Scottsdale, Work
Great.
Of Artists Gallery. And then Gary Ong, a shout out to him, in his restaurant. He has my
wow.
photography still. It's in the Mushu Grill on Thomas Road
nice.
In Phoenix.
Well,
nice.
it is amazing. But, you know, now the obvious question for me, because I don't know if you know this about me, but I love me aliens. Have you ever caught anything in a photograph that you were like, whoa, what the heck was that?
You know, I never have. Now, Phoenix is known for those Phoenix lights. Which
exactly.
They think it's a bunch of crazy stuff. I hate to burst your bubble. It's an asteroid. You know, it just kind of broke up. A little tiny, sorry, tiny one. So it's really a meteor. But they
right.
actually found parts of it. So that's the scientific explanation for the Phoenix light.
Well,
so, but no, I
you
never
haven't
caught anything.
You know, John and I actually saw a UFO. And
wow.
Yes, we did. And it was so close. I could see the underbelly of this thing. And I could see it was just amazing. And you know, you could see the heat wave. You could see
wow.
the you could see how it was flying. It was in the air, and it went sideways. It went up. It went down. It went. You know, we were just like, what is this? And it wasn't far above our heads. So close it was that it got to that.
Wow.
You know, so I could see everything. Unlike
see, with, yeah,
you know,
I
unlike
think
if
nature
it was far away.
Is elusive, and I think. You know, with that, you know, when I try to get a really good shot, nature's
yes.
just elusive and I don't get it. So, of course, I've never gotten any of those things. I've actually never seen any of that phenomenon. So, I guess
oh,
until
it's
I
a
see
phenomenon.
It.
I actually
Believe
saw
me.
One, too. I actually saw one 2 years ago. I was doing stunts on a movie called Tune In Tomorrow. We were out in the North Carolina swamps, middle of the night, me and another stunt guy.
Wow.
We were laying with our backs, we were laying on the camera car trailer waiting for them to call us to the set. And all of a sudden, we both grabbed each other's arms and said, do you see that? And it was very clear, very not a weather balloon or an airplane or any of those things. And the next day on the news, it was like, reports of a UFO, a weather balloon was confirmed. Well, girls, I'm here to tell you, it was no weather balloon, okay? And so after that. Yeah, I got an interest in it. So I think anybody who's ever seen something or had, what's that, a close encounter of the first kind, you know, that's had anything like that, you know, you're a little more open to it. But for someone like you who's looking at the stars, I guess you're more or less, and you and May and I talked about this before the show started, photography
yeah.
for you ladies, and this is what it appears to me, is that it's an emotional thing for you, and your feelings come
Absolutely.
Through when you snap the lens, that emotional moment. And that's what I'm seeing is that
exactly.
beauty in your astronomy. Yeah, I mean, it's really a skill. It's a skill, girls.
Well,
right.
I think it's like a filter, like a songwriter. It's like you're tuning into a channel and you get the sort of frequencies you're looking for when you write a song. It's the same thing with photography. When I look out at the sky, I see an image that I want to find and I get it. And it's
right.
almost spiritual in a way where, okay, I'm like kind of a cheery, happy person, so I want to try to get that beauty out of the universe. One of my most famous pictures is of Picacho Peak and the Milky Way over that. And so many people are like, oh, my goodness, that's so beautiful. Well, right next to it is a gas station, and the gas station lit up the cactus. I cropped
right.
that out, and I have this
right.
beautiful image that looks like there's nothing around it but peace. Well, there's a
exactly.
gas station
wow.
right next to it.
Right.
You know, in reality. So those, you are manipulating with your eye. You're cropping what you want. Out
exactly.
of
yeah. True.
See, I have the pictures with my thumb in it, you know, or the blur, or you know, I just don't. I'm impatient with the girls. I don't. If the moment's there, I don't recognize it. And I think that's the difference between a true photographer and someone who's just taking pictures. You know, there is a difference. But, you know, okay, Arizona House of Representatives, what brought that about? Are you a little protester?
This is really kind of a funny story. I have changed parties a couple of times in my life. And when I moved, I was a Republican in New Mexico, and I moved to Arizona, and I'm like, these Republicans are crazy. This is not, no. So I thought, okay, I'm going to volunteer for the Democratic Party. And when I started running for office, they said, oh, no Democrats run here in like 20 years. We can't. It's so, and I'm like, that's so un-American. I was so naive. Well, I'll run. And it was kind of a joke, and my slogan was going to be, my clown is better than your clown, and I was going to dress in a clown suit. I wasn't even taking it seriously. And so they kind of ignored me, and I almost won. I lost by only 1,000 votes, and I did craziest thing. You're not supposed to go to 4-wide doors. You know, the Republicans that are really staunch that vote in every election. I thought, there's no Democrats in this district. I might as well just go right to the heart of the beast. And I would knock on the doors of these 4-wide Republicans. And they were just like Democrats. We agreed on more than you would ever realize. I just let them talk, and I listened, and they're like, you know, nobody from my party has ever come to my door and listened to me for 20 minutes. I'm voting for you and telling all my friends. And it was kind of this underground thing. And I almost
You know,
won.
Lori,
it's
funny that you would mention that, because I think that the party system in this country needs to come to an end. Because it doesn't work anymore. Because certainly there are Republicans who are pro-choice, and certainly
and
there are Democrats who are pro-life. Yeah, you know,
rabid Republicans that care about the environment, and I was so pleased to hear that. You know, and it's like there's more that unites us than divides us, and I saw that by knocking on all those doors and talking to people.
Well, May had brought up a really good point before you called in that we wanted to touch on, and the fact that our president is in Cuba. And I'm going to be straight up. I'm not an Obama supporter. However, he is the president of our country. Okay? So with
that
comes the right of respect. The right of respect. And
I agree.
For people,
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, May, you know, you and I don't always see head to head with politics, but one thing we do agree on is you respect the office. Come on.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you know,
otherwise,
respect.
When your guy gets in there, they won't be respected by the other side. It's just being civilized.
It is being civilized. People earn, when they get to that space, and I say that, you go up there. Listen, I didn't like the fact that Bush was up there. I've been to the White House. I shook this man's hand. He was the president at the time. The one person I did feel weird was Cheney. And then, you know, but I still respected the fact that he was the vice president. And when he put his hand out to shake, I did. I would not. You got to show people their respect. That's what the office. If we don't have it, it's all chaos everywhere. Oh, I don't like you. Oh, I'm not going to. Could you imagine? And this is what I think it was Rick Perry who was the governor, and it really irked me at the time. And that was when he said, "I don't mind meeting with the president, but I'm not going to shake his hand." And I thought to myself,
that's
"Could you
terrible.
Imagine?" I said, "How horrible! What kind of respect are we teaching things that we're teaching kids?" And the other
you
thing,
didn't tell that
you,
to your grandchildren
right.
that I didn't shake the president's hand.
Right,
what are you
and then
them? Yeah.
Right, and then you go there, and then you say things like, you think about it. If you were in a company working for the president of this company and the CEO, and you know, and you came back and I don't like the way he does things, and you don't shake his hand, you'll be out in 2 seconds.
You're gone.
Exactly.
Right. And they would never do that.
I mean, that's the disappointing thing. It's a disappointment in the fact that, and we are teaching our children not to be respectful, and
that's
wrong.
Right.
Because
it's
I don't
wrong.
Care what you say about how someone got there. They are the president of the United States. It's the same thing if you're on a sports team and you've got a captain of the sports team or your coach.
Yeah.
It's your coach. Now, you may hate him to death, and you may not like what he does, but he's your coach. So,
I have a funny
story
about the handshaking thing. It's like when I finally got my big job, I guess they kind of kept it under wraps because Lori could be a guy name too in some circles. And the big owner of the company, my boss was like going to have me shake the owner's hand, and he kind of looked at me and didn't want to put his hand out to shake my hand, and my boss was like, oh, I'm going to get fired. It was just a very awkward scene. But, you know, I just thought it was funny because, I mean, I didn't lose my job. Nobody lost their job. It was just, again, this sort of this disrespect that's starting to happen between us where, hey, if you don't believe the way I do, you must be evil. And we just have to stop that, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to, you know, listen. You know, engineers on the right wing and left wing of the plane, I mean, you got to get together to get it off the ground. So,
yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. You know,
I mean, it's okay. So Lori, here you are. You break into as a program director and operations manager. And now this is something I am familiar with, only in that my first husband, I had a few of those. Worked at a radio station. He was a disc jockey, and then mm-hmm. he became,
yeah.
you know, a program director. So I'm familiar with how hard that must have been for you.
Yeah, it was. I had some staff members that refused to listen to me because they say, well, biblically, I can't have a woman as a boss. They would use the Bible. They would just use different
biblically.
Things. And so I would have to come up with an entirely different plan to get things done. Like one of the morning guys wouldn't even talk to me or acknowledge my existence. So I did the afternoon drive show. So I said, well, I got to get this guy to sound better. How do I do it? So I started just like doing the morning show, which is not what you're really supposed to do in the afternoon. And then, of course, then he started doing what I was doing to try to one-up me. And that's exactly what I wanted him to do. So I had to like sort of do it a different way to get him to do what I needed him to do to get his ratings up.
Right.
So, you know, just things like that where I can't directly say to him, do this, do this, do this, because he wouldn't listen. You have to do it another way to lead. Lead by example more than telling them. So
right. I'm telling you.
And you know something, girls, I don't think the term feminist, like a lot of women are like, I don't want that term. I think it's a great term. I don't, you know, I consider myself more a humanist. But
exactly.
I will say this. It's really a shame that we have to go through all this rigmarole to get them to respect us. And for the women
right.
who got men's jobs that really shouldn't be there, they know they shouldn't
be there. Oh, and
they
make it worse for
okay.
us. They actually
yep.
make it worse than any man has yep. ever made it for me, because they yeah, you know the drill, what happens.
yep.
You know, a lot of jealousy, and they try to tear you down and get their little clicks, and they'll lie in packs. You know, it's pretty wild, all the interesting things.
Aye.
You know,
what's
but,
going on now,
a,
Lori? I mean, what do you have going on now? What's happening?
You know, what's really exciting right now is obviously your show, and here's an example of women getting together and supporting women. I love that. I am on a CD with Kevin Mackey, and I understand May was
yes.
on a CD also with Kevin Mackey, and about bullies. And so
yeah, right.
They're doing a peace CD, and I'm really excited about that. It's for Nelson Mandela Days. And,
all right.
It should be great. Yeah. Lots of great artists. Julian Lennon's on there, and also Ian Anderson, and some other nice big progressive rock artists. So I'm doing that. I'm also I have a recording session on Sunday, and I've got permission from Richie Furay to cover one of his tracks too. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I have Johnny Eccles on a tune. So I love his guitar playing. That's really exciting, and I hope to go to Germany in a week. So
oh, that'd be fabulous. Where in Germany?
I'm going to go to Munich, and then also Salzburg, Austria, too. So
ooh, nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, are you going to be performing there?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Are you going to be performing there?
Yes, I have a gig in Salzburg, so that should be fun. Yeah, and also I'm going to be taking pictures, I hope, of some other concerts out there. And
wow.
also down the road, I've got some wonderful plans also for my photography. And
you're just
going to
cram another career in there, Lori, right? Well,
I'm
have
thinking,
a spare 30 seconds.
Idea. Yeah, just give me an idea here.
We should also have May, our series of overachievers. Yeah, Lori's going to be like right up there in the top three. Yikes.
Well, you know,
but you know what the great thing is, Lori, is that you have such enthusiasm about everything that you're doing. And I feel such a dull air these days. It's like an ill wind. So when you run into somebody with, like, for example, next week we have on our show Paul Cowsill, who May have a secret man crush on. And
does he has great hair, right? Oh, sorry, you've heard that joke before.
He's so up, and he's so positive, and he's so energetic. And I think people are attracted to that, and I think it's almost like an anomaly now, because everybody wants to be so down and so hateful and,
have
the scoop on the worst information. Yeah. So when you meet somebody who's up and who's moving forward at the speed of light, I think you might have tagged one of those comets, and you're riding around on it now, Lori.
Oh.
Cause you just, I mean, this is, like, awesome, you know, and
well,
for us especially.
You know, I think it's just because, you know, and we talked about this before, too, and the CD that May is on about bullies, I was really bullied, and I just didn't understand. I thought, oh, I got to try harder to get them to like me, so I'm going to make this song even better. I'm going to make this, and it would just make them madder. And so I think I'm kind of on that pattern of, okay, well, you didn't like that, so I'll just go ahead and do another one, and it'll be better, I promise, this time. And
it's amazing
that,
what we try. I mean, it really is. And, you know,
well,
I'm
May,
glad
you were
that...
bullied, right, as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
In Chinese, in a non-Chinese neighborhood?
Oh. Absolutely. All the time. I was, because I lived in Spanish Harlem.
Oh.
And you know, and there I am being bullied by, you know, the black kids, the Hispanic kids, and, you know, and then I didn't fit in with some of the Irish and Italian. So, I mean, I was just nowhere. I was just in my own little world. So I always say music saved my soul. I mean, that really took me to another level. I would take walks over to the Metropolitan Museum and just sit there and look at the – I was in the Egyptian room, so I was looking at the mummies all the time. And so, you know, things like that. You know, so I really – I got to find a photo. There's a photo of me somewhere around, I think I was about 10 years old, and it's Easter, because I remember this photo very well. And there I am with a transistor radio, if anybody knows what that is.
I know.
Hilarious.
Stuck to my ear. Just stuck to my ear, because all I want to do is hear music. So I'm listening to the radio the whole time. That was it. That's it. That was
my
life.
Salvation, too. Basically, you know, hearing, you know, Steve Walsh's voice or Richie Furay. I mean, just great voices that were so positive, even if the words they said weren't positive. It was just something I grabbed out of their vocal that was like, that's really beautiful.
It's the way they
presented it. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced,
Right. It's the way back then, and how people sang and gave their message. You didn't feel despair. You just sort of heard, they go, that's exactly how I felt. And, you know, and you go, and they were able to put it into words and music and still come away, and you still felt upbeat from it, even though that it wasn't, you know, the greatest, but they were able to say it, and you go, I'm not alone. That's what it was. I'm not alone.
Exactly. Exactly. It was this, this wonderful thing. I'd be all alone in my room. No one would understand me. I'd be bullied, but I had this peace when I would turn on the records.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I just love seeing your stuff, and I want to see more. I love the, you know, astronomy is just one of those things. Maybe at one point we should do something.
I would love to, you know, my new thing is I love taking pictures of the stars over
That's
cities,
all I do.
Which is really tough because of the light pollution. But I have some great shots over Hollywood, but I've never been to New York, so maybe that's what I should do. I should try to see if I can capture some stars.
Why don't you do that? Because I take pictures of the moon. I love taking
pictures
of the moon.
Oh, I would love that.
Well, and on my page, every so often. Yeah, so we should do something.
Absolutely.
We should do
I
there
would love to
and
do
I'm over here.
Book.
I'm over here, girl,
that's
fuming because I had a telescope, Lori, but my dogs knocked it off my porch and it cracked the lens, and now everything looks underlined when you look through it.
Well,
you know, like there's
a
big underline.
You just need, you know, one of those big cardboard tubes that you can get from Orion. They're these. You don't want the refractors. You want, I mean, you want like a Dobsonian telescope, so you have the mirrors as opposed to the lenses, and you'll see a lot more. and
I can
hook you up. I'll get you one.
Hook me up, because I'm telling you girls right now, I'm looking for UFOs. You girls can look at all the comets you want. I'm looking for aliens. Okay.
You know, well, listen, why don't we all get together?
You find what you are seeking. When you are taking a picture, you always find what you are seeking.
Why don't we, should make a date, and girls, we should all come up to New York, and let's see what we can do.
Oh, I'm there. Well, I can't wait.
And you know what? Then you girls can come here, because I live on the top of a mountain, so my sky is wide open.
Okay, so we'll have to talk about this.
Okay.
Well, Lori, it was great to have you on. We look forward to the Larson Comet as it carries on here. Will you come back after you finish the project with Kevin? We'd like to have him on, too, to talk about it. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Kevin is a wonderful guy. I mean, the project, we've been talking about it for about a year and a half, but, you know, Rupam and Krista involved as well for Action Moves People United. Just a great cause, and especially now, with all the hate that's out there, it's needed more than ever.
Right. Yep. I agree.
Hear, hear.
Yes.
Hear, hear.
All right.
Well, we're going to let you get back to your making music and coffee and figuring out your next career, Lori. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh,
we'll be in touch.
Take
care.
That was fun.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I feel like such a slouch for this girl and the stuff that she's accomplished and what she's still doing. So I'm going to amp it up a little, May girl. I'm going to amp it up. Okay.
Then you'll be, you know. You're going to come up, and we'll be doing some stuff. That's all.
Oh, we should. And I'll be on alien duty. I'll be on alien watch. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I used to kid around when I lived down on the ocean in New York, and I'd say, they could land here, but with my luck, it'll be a crew of children, and they'll take me aboard, and it'll be like, no!
I'm telling you, it was just fun. Just the thought of her getting the stars, I'm doing the moon, it will be just, you know.
I mean, because her photography is real. Of course, in Arizona, the sunsets are spectacular.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. But lady.
I remember going out there, and I took my son, and he had never been out there, and we looked out. It was in the shopping center. It was at the grocery store, and everybody lines up at night with their telescopes. And they were all looking at, Neptune or Saturn? And they had had it. Oh, yeah. And it was like different people having their, but they were all fixated to the one place. And it was amazing to see. That's all I can say. I was in front of an AMP in the parking lot. And they're all set up at night. It was just great. Just great. I loved it.
Well, I mean, really, truly, not to quote Star Trek or Star Wars, whichever one it is, but space is the final frontier. And, you know, we just don't know. But, hey, before we run out of time, and also, too, for Lori listeners, we are going to play one of her songs going out of the show. But what's coming up for you? Don't you have
a talk that's coming up at Syracuse University for one of the classes. I'll be doing that in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited to go up to Syracuse. I have to tell you, I love doing talks. I love doing these things at universities because they're all – you know, people are surprised when they find out the things I've actually done. So it's good. It's good. It's all good.
Well, I mean, they don't realize the history you have with music beyond the Beatles and beyond John Lennon. So when you do start your talk, it is a visit to a time that we know is never coming again. So
no, that's definitely
kudos to you. And anybody can get in touch with you if they want
through the website,
through social media.
Yep. Yeah, through my own website, maypang.com. How simple is that?
There you go.
Yeah. So,
goody. All right, we're signing out. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to you and see you next week and talk to Paul Council. Yay! Okay.
Your boy crush.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was Miss May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio. Our thanks to Lori Larson, and here's one of her tunes.